been good this morning. So glad the Lord has brought out the things that He has brought out this morning, because what I've got to say is really all around that. The thought really I have this morning is that the gospel is not just for unbelievers. The gospel is for believers. And it's that which actually warms our hearts and draws us close to Him, because He sends grace once more. We don't just need the gospel once and then go on. We need the gospel daily. We need everything that God has to give us daily. His grace, His mercy, His love. Lord, we just pray that You will speak to us this morning, that You will reach our hearts, and that You will draw near to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I believe the Lord has led me this morning to talk about what's usually called the Beatitudes, or at least one of them. And a preacher once said that he didn't much go for that, because you fell into the trap of thinking that there's beautiful attitudes. And they're not beautiful attitudes, they are God-sent provisions, and we need to take real concern over them. So perhaps you turn with me to Matthew 5. And today we will be just homing in on the first three verses of chapter 5. Speaking of Jesus, it says in verse 1, "And seeing the multitudes, He went up on the mountain, and when He was seated, His disciples came to Him." Seeing the multitudes. These were the great crowds that followed Him. Those mentioned in chapter 4, they included the sick who were brought for healing, the demon-possessed who were brought for deliverance. And He delivered and healed them all, didn't He? The power of the Lord was present. No wonder they followed Him then. And someone walking around Nottingham who was driving out demonic forces and healing the sick, people would follow Him. However, seeing the multitudes, He went up on a mountain. He called His disciples, as it were, to come up higher. Remember the prophecy to that effect just a little while ago, that we were to come up higher. And I think we have been coming up higher this morning, haven't we, in the worship. The Lord has drawn us closer to Himself. Well, the Lord wanted to spend time alone with those He was discipling. Isn't that good? That's a very important part of the work. Any evangelistic work has to be followed with discipleship. It's not enough for people just to make decisions, is it? Because they need the cross every day, and they will need it every day of their lives. And the Lord has made that provision for us. The Lord wants to reach out, of course, to the masses. But the Lord wants to reach also those who have a desire for Him. He also desires time with those who are seriously wanting to follow Him. This is in order that they may be taught how to conduct themselves in enemy-occupied territory. And if you don't accept that particular phrase, then I would ask you to look at 1 John 5:19, not now, but when you get back home on when you suddenly say, this world is enemy occupied. And we're up against it. We're up against it now because it's overt. It's obvious. This is one of the things we can praise God for, that he's had to come out of his shell, the enemy. And it's obvious the enemy is around. So therefore, we don't have to fish around to see what he's doing. We can see it. He's doing it all the time. There are so many things that are opposing God's will at this moment. And the only way that that is going to be alleviated is through God's people taking these issues to him and praying them through, isn't it? Bringing them to him. So verse 1 goes on to say, when he was seated, his disciples came to him. It was the usual thing in those days for the teacher to be seated when he was doing his teaching ministry. And the disciples would gather around him. Nowadays, for us, post-crucifixion and resurrection, his disciples are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So it tells us in Ephesians 2. We have a heavenly communion now. And this is something we need to take hold of, because as we come to God, we come to God on the basis of the fact that he sees us seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It's Christ that he sees, and us gathered into him. Praise God. We have a heavenly communion. And though we're here on earth, that is our position before the Lord, before God. God has placed us there. And it's for us to live in the good of it. You know, getting to live in the good of these things is another matter. It's one thing to read them and say, oh, that's no us. It's another thing to actually get hold of the truths and live them. If we start taking the scripture really seriously, we will begin to live the truths of scripture. When you have a problem next time, don't start thinking about yourself inside. Don't start thinking about how you're going on, whether your faith is there or not. Think of yourself in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Think away from yourself, and God will work in. As we look away, he works in. Doesn't he? Have you had that experience? You don't look for faith, he gives it. As we look away from him, as we look away to him and away from ourselves, he brings the faith. And of course, Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. Look unto him. Look unto him by the eye of faith. However, if we're to live in the good of that position, we need, like the disciples of old, to come to him. And sadly, only a few really follow him. Let's really seek God that we will follow him all the days of our life. Only by his grace can we do that. Only by the precious blood of Christ can we enter into that. Because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He says, come, and we surely need to come. How would we be without him? How could we exist without him? As a Christian, we couldn't, because our very name is built around him. We are Christians. On to verse 2, it says, he opened his mouth and he talked to them. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice in John 10. Have you heard his voice lately? Especially, you know, if you're like me, sometimes you miss it. You ask the Lord something, and he speaks to you, and you miss it. And then afterwards, it was a fault speaking. And if you assess that, very often it was the Lord actually talking to you. I explained in a house group some weeks ago, I was in a position where I said, Lord, what should I do in this situation? It's difficult, I know. And it's going to be a problem if I don't get it right. What should I do? And the Lord spoke into my life, and I knew what he said was something I didn't want to get. I thought, well, that's not just good work. That's not it. So I didn't do it. And it caused me a great deal of pain, difficulty, because I didn't follow the word of the Lord. Very often, if you've got a word in your heart, you need to carry it through. You need to see that God has actually spoken and do it. This way, God taught me that it's important to respond to that word. When you pray for it, be sure if you have that, confidence, or you need confirmation, then to seek the Lord, don't just reject it. My sheep hear my voice. Now, in the following passage of what they call the Beatitude, he is going to speak very directly. In fact, he speaks very directly, right on, doesn't he? Right through the following chapters. I don't think there's another part in the New Testament where you see so much direct involvement that Jesus had with his disciples, just teaching them, teaching them, teaching them, showing them things. And when he speaks to us, he feeds us with an infusion of spiritual life. My words, he said, the words that I speak to you are spirit and life. When you sense that word coming in to your heart from the word, it brings life. If you submit to it, you open your heart to it, it brings life. It brings a new strength into your life. Well, on to verse 3. Now we get to the substance of his message. And I'll be only concentrating on this verse today, but there's so much here, I think, that is worth really thinking about, that we need to consider. On first looking, it may not grab you, but as you think about what this particular verse means, it means more and more to your heart. Verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now these are people who come to God in humility, aren't they? The poor in spirit. What is the poor in spirit? Well, the spirit is the deepest part of our life. And if we are in ourselves rich in spirit, we're going to miss the blessing. Blessed are the poor in spirit. They come to God in humility. They realize that it's not what they can do for God, but what God is willing to do through them. You know, I well remember a time when God put me in my place. There's not just one time, it's many times, but this particular time I remember well. Because it happened soon after I entered the London Sea Mission. I was a trainee missionary, and my first period of initial training was at St Helier's estate in Morden. Very similar, actually, to the estate here. I started and finished in very similar situations. With the mission. And I remember standing on the pavement, looking across the narrow roads of St. Helier Estate, and the Lord strongly impressing upon my heart, and he said, you need this work for your stability, for the stability of your own spiritual life, more than you could ever help these people. So I shrank a bit after that. And I realized I wasn't in the mission because I was the Lord's gift to people, and that it was actually the Lord's gift that brought me into the mission. And it's not what I can do for God. It's what he has done for me. And that's the amazing thing. And I've found this right through, because God has particular pathways for all of us, doesn't he? And if you stay on his pathway, you will stay the course. It's when you stray from the path that you get in some byway or other. You stay where he's put you and where he leads you, you'll stay the course. You're going to be here with the Lord, praising him up to the last. You're staying the course. And if I hadn't have had the mission to discipline me, because I was a very indisciplined sort of person as a young man, and I needed this discipline on me. I needed, certain things needed to be done, and the Lord sort of brought me into this, right, this is where you're going to learn. This is where I'm going to teach you. So you can go out and bring my word to people, but really, you need this. Well, poor in spirit. The poor in spirit see themselves as bankrupt beggars. And the older I get, the more bankrupt I see myself. It's a funny thing. You think actually that as you get older, you're going to become more and more spiritual, more and more. Well, in one sense, yeah. But not the obvious way. As you get older, what you find out is more about yourself. I found out things so recently about myself. It's amazing. You know, I don't really want to know, but God seems to think I need to know this. And so I've been there since, well, Lord, not really. If you're not really serious, well, he is. And it's every day that he wants us to walk with him in newness of life. Every day. Not even my hands I bring, only to the cross. God looks for a humble spirit because that is someone you can use. He's looking for people he can pour out his blessing upon. Isn't that amazing? God's looking to bless. He wants to bless people. He wants to be so blessed they're running over. Full up and running over with it. How many of us are like that? And why aren't we like it? I don't want to speak for you, but I'm just speaking for myself. Why aren't we running over with it? Because we are not there. We haven't got to that place. But it's there. And God wants us to enter into everything he has. The promises of God are tremendous. You know, the biggest problem, what is it? I think the biggest problem God has, if we can say God has a problem, because in his grace he gives us the opportunity to go with him or to resisting. You see, if you're already, if I'm already a filled container, if we come to him full of self-will or self-confidence and the rest, he can't fill us with his will and his spirit, can he? Because I'm already full, isn't it? And that's not just on one occasion. That is on every occasion I come to him. I need to be willing to be empty before him, so that he can begin to fill. Because, as D.L. Moody once said, we leak. Yes, there's only one baptism in the Spirit, but we need to be filled with the Spirit regularly. Don't we? I do. Because we leak. We change from one week to another, temperamentally, because we leak. And if we get continually filled, it's because we've emptied ourselves. Can't we come before him and do it? There's rubbish there. I want this thing dealt with. I want to be emptied so that you can fill me. And we will. Nonetheless, if we come to him as empty vessels, he will begin to fill us and use us more. James 4:6 says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. That's the poor in spirit, isn't it? Humble. In view of that, he says in verse 7 and 8, therefore submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. He draws near to those who are poor in spirit, doesn't he? He draws near to the humble. God resists the proud. He's always resisted the proud. That's why the devil's where he is today. He resists the proud. But you see, the devil works on us. And he works pride, because it doesn't take much. That's a pretty easy job for the devil to work up in pride. So therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. He draws near to those who are poor in spirit. Psalm 138. Verse 6. Though the Lord is on high, he regards the lowly. He's up there. He's on high. He's overseeing everything, but he's also here as well. And he regards the lowly. So isn't it good? We need to come into our churches thinking, look, Lord, it's not what I can do, it's what you can do. It's not what I need, it's what you need. It's not what I want, it must be what you want if we're going to see blessing. If we're going to see blessing together, if we all felt like that, if we all really came together like that, we would see a move of the Spirit. So he's on the high, yet he regards the lowly. Why does he regard the lowly? Well, we've only to think about, well, I mean, we've already thought that in part, but we only need to think about the Lord himself, don't we? Matthew 11:29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. People are chasing around everywhere, looking or something, they don't know what they're looking for, and they're being compelled by the enemy in a lot of ways. There's so many people under compulsions in fact. They're living under compulsions, they don't even know. God wants to deliver them. But he can't deliver them because they're so full of their compulsions. If they come to him and say, look, I'm full of my compulsions, Lord, get rid of it for me. That's the first step. And then he will direct how to get rid of enemy activity in your life. If you've got enemy activity in your life, seek him first. Say, Lord, I'm being compelled in certain ways. Or I feel under a cloud in certain ways. Show me what to do, how to do it, who to go with, to go to, if necessary, for ministry. We need to have ministry one way or another. And you need to go to someone who has a ministry of some sort in order for someone to deliver. There is no ministry as a deliverance ministry as such. Because deliverance ministry is administered by people who have ministry. And God uses them to drive out the enemy. We're in a battle now. He's showing his teeth. He's bearing his teeth. And there's a lot that we just put up with when we don't need to. Just come to God and say, Lord, how do I get rid of it? Who do I go to? The Lord will show you. If you're honest with me, if you say, Lord, who do I go to get ministry in this world? To be shown the way through. He'll show you. And the Lord has certainly helped me a number of times during my life being ministered to by God's servants. So why does the Lord regard the lonely? Because that's what he's like himself. He is not proud. He is not arrogant. Look what he says in Isaiah 66, 1 and 2. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me? And where is the place of my rest? For all these things my hand has made. And all these things exist, says the Lord. But on this one I will look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word. My response to that is, Lord, cause me to tremble at your word. Cause me to open myself in the reality world much more than I do now. And go further with you. We so need to realize how important it is to us to get a right perspective before the Lord. God wants the kingdom of heaven to be ours. He says, isn't it? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We should be living in that sort of a realm. If we were in revival, we'd be living in that sort of a realm. But we can be in revival. How do we get in revival? Well, we get in revival by emptying ourselves and coming to God to revive us. Revival is only, we think of revival as being a huge movement. Well, it's only individuals being moved by the power of the Spirit together. But we can have a personal revival. The Lord can revive us in our own room. We empty ourselves before him. Lord, revive me! I'm going through a dry period, a dry patch, difficult time. Revive me, Lord. Revive my enthusiasm for your word, revive my understanding of your word. Have you ever come to the word and it's actually mean nothing to you? You've read it through and think, no, what is that? Well, the thing then is to ask the Lord, why? Why is it wrong? Why does it seem arid to me today? And also, when you come to the Lord and read the Bible, it's open up. Amazing to you. You can see it like that before. I've read this a number of times, I've never seen this before. Because the Lord waters it. And we need to ask the Lord to water His word as we come to the end. Now, Lord, I just pray that you would help us. I'm just going to pray now, we'll close now. Lord, if you want this ministry to continue, Lord, speak to our hearts. Meet us. Reveal yourself to us, Lord, and you afresh. We want to see revival among ourselves. We want to see revival in each other. And Lord, we know that it's only your gospel that brings revival because it's coming back to you every time. It's coming back to you. We thank you for the way that you reveal the truth to unbelievers. But Lord, we need that truth given to us. David, we need to know that we are under the blood of Christ. And we can do that only, Lord, by confessing our life before you each time. We are amazed that you're so patient with us. But if you advise us, Lord, to forgive each other 70 times 7 a day, I guess you'd better do that yourself. So, Lord, you are an amazing and forgiving God. We thank you that you have graciously dealt with your wrath in the most amazing way. And that we can come before you receiving your grace and not your wrath. You are amazing, Lord. I just want to see your hand upon us all together as we congregate each Sunday, Lord. Move and move us deeper. Just one thing before I go, just a couple of little things, bringing an old chorus.